day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Rise. Lord God, like Thomas, we wrestle with faith amid doubts and fears. Grant us your Holy Spirit so that believing we may see, and seeing we may rejoice in your Son and in the power of his resurrection. You know the hearts of your people and those who have wandered into error or have fallen away from the one true faith. Rekindle faith in them and restore them to the flock that their voices may be one with us in prayer and praise again. Trials and troubles of this mortal life weigh heavy upon us. Give to the sick and those who suffer the consolation of your grace and healing according to your will. Grant them courage, confidence, and peace in every circumstance. We remember especially those who have asked for our prayers, Jan Flieger and family, the passing of her mother. Help us all, Lord, to look beyond the cross and see the empty tomb and the new life that belongs to us in the resurrected Christ. Be with those facing or recovering from health concerns, Linda, Marilyn Stargard, Scott Parasol, Marge Horton, Stephen Piazza, Phyllis Candy, Dennis Bateman, Elmer Compton, Reverend Richard Krugler, Lois Becker, Mary Ellen Bauer, Michael, Laura Anderson, Larry, Christine Hall, Robert Waldron, Priscilla McFall, Jan Hogan, Lenore Stevens, Joyce Douglas, Lisa, William Bullock, Bev Adams, Karen Barker, Zach Endres, Terry Hoff, Bill and Mary Holloway, Amy, Vi Streck, Susan, Izzy, Libby, and Linda, and those in hospice care, Bill Carter, Ron Arkles, Carol Dole, Mr. Cagle. Remind them of the glory that awaits through the resurrected Christ. And those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this day, grant them your blessing. We also celebrate with Joseph and Melissa Ortiz, who welcomed a new baby this past week, Eleanor Bell. We look forward to her second birth in the waters of baptism. The flowers this day, O Lord, on the altar given by the Scheit family in celebration of Steve's birthday, we'd ask your blessing be upon them. And the lectern flowers given in celebration of Tom and Rosemary Demrick's 50th anniversary, again, your continued blessing upon them. We give thanks for the opportunity to do good in the family of God's soup kitchen and those members who sponsored this month, the priest Bergstrom families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Dearly beloved in Christ, the tomb is empty. Christ is alive. Your sins and mine have been fully and completely paid for in His blood. And death itself, because of Christ's resurrection, has been swallowed up in victory. Yes, Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Throughout the Easter season, we as God's people rejoice and celebrate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in bringing to each and every one of us the gift of forgiveness and the reassurance that flows from His suffering, His death, and yes, His resurrection. Every last thing that Jesus had to endure in the time of His passion, He had to endure for you. He had to endure for me. Every last bit of it was absolutely necessary and essential. For as the Holy Spirit would remind you and me today through the Apostle Paul, if Christ had not been raised, your faith and mine is completely in vain. It's completely futile. It's completely unimportant. And you and I would still be lost and condemned in our sins. But graciously the Lord adds these wonderful words of reassurance that make our hearts sing for joy and thanksgiving. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. Today's gospel lesson invites you and me to look into the locked and bolted room where our Lord's disciples were hiding in fear. Fear in particular of the Jewish religious leaders. You see, the disciples believed that the rulers would try to find them and then arrest them for supporting what the Jewish leaders imagined may well have been a conspiracy on the part of Jesus and His disciples against Caesar and the authority of the Roman Empire and against the Jewish people and particularly the Jewish leaders themselves. Their fear, the disciples' fear, also extended perhaps to the Jewish religious leaders themselves, because all along, if you read the narrative in Scripture, you know that at every turn they were seeking to undermine the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are certain of one thing about the disciples. They were scared silly. And then the unexpected blossomed before their very frightened eyes. There stood Jesus among them. He spoke to them. And what He said to them were incredible words that the disciples were yearning for. Words that were filled with the love of Christ and words that were filled with forgiveness for the disciples themselves. Words that were intended to calm the fears of these disciples of Jesus. Shalom. Peace be with you. And there it was, right before their eyes, resonating in their ears, resonating in their hearts, the resurrection message of peace. Peace with God. Perfect peace. Forgiving peace. Peace, as the Apostle Paul eventually would write, that passes all human understanding. Jesus revealed to the disciples the physical wounds that He endured as He paid the debt for your sin and mine and for the sins of the disciples. It was, in the end, a ransom price. A ransom price for our sin and for our disobedience and our complete lack of faith in Him. And by those same words that Jesus spoke to the disciples, the debt of your sin is also paid. The righteous wrath of God toward our sins has been averted. And like the disciples, you and I are now at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is His indwelling Holy Spirit that brings you that peace. Peace in your relationship with God. And then He sets our hearts and our minds and our souls at peace. We are given now to trust by faith that God will in fact keep all of His promises. Promises that He made to you and to me and that He fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ. As our Lord spoke to and interacted with His disciples behind the locked doors of this room, the scriptures tell us that Jesus breathed on the disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it, forgiveness, is withheld." Not only had Jesus given His disciples peace, but in these words, He gives them a special, unique power, a power to forgive sins, a power to retain sins. How could Jesus give this power to these men? Is that not only the power of God to forgive sins? These men had abandoned Jesus. They had denied Jesus. They didn't even really believe at first that He had risen from the dead. How could God invest in them His own power of forgiving the sins of others? Jesus rose from the dead. And if anyone needed sins to be forgiven, it was these disciples. And yet, our Lord fills them to the full with His Holy Spirit and with the power to forgive and retain sins. That really just sounds like something that only God can do. And yet, Jesus gave that power to His disciples. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, do you know what the disciples did finally? They went far and wide. And they told others the message of Jesus on the cross and out of the empty tomb. And as people would confess their sins to the disciples would graciously use the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive them of their sins. We do that even now. Here in the Lord's church, when we engage ourselves in the act of confession and absolution, sins are forgiven. That's the power that Jesus gave to His disciples upon His resurrection. In today's epistle reading, the Apostle Peter speaks strongly about our Lord's resurrection. He praises the Lord God for saving people like you and me from eternal condemnation by means of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. The tomb is empty, of course. But our Lord's resurrection is the foundation of our own reassurance that on some day known only to the Lord God Himself, when Jesus returns in glory, we and all who are faithful believers will receive an eternal inheritance from Jesus our Savior, the resurrected Lord. An inheritance that is imperishable, an inheritance that is undefiled and unfading, and it's kept safely in store for you and me in the safest place it can be, in the hands of our Lord in the glories of heaven. But here we are now, God's people gathered in His house, and we wait. We wait in patient faith. Our faith as children of God is guarded by the Holy Spirit. You saw an amazing miracle this morning. The Holy Spirit took up residence in another newborn baptized child. Just like the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you. And through faith and by God's means of grace, our union with the resurrected Christ is preserved, and it's even strengthened. Because you see, Jesus' resurrection from the grave guarantees your own resurrection from the grave on the day of his imminent return. Unlike his disciples who were gathered together in that room, we're not yet given to see Jesus face to face. And yet, by faith, we are given to believe in him, to trust in him, and to rejoice in knowing that we shall be given ultimately the outcome of our faith, which is nothing less than the eternal salvation of our souls in the glories of heaven. Perhaps you remember a little conversation that Jesus had with a woman who was his friend named Martha. Martha's brother Lazarus had died. And in this conversation with Martha, Jesus declares himself to her to be the resurrection and the life. And he went on to say to her, and by extension to you and me, because it's given to us in the Lord's word, anyone who believes and trusts in me, though in time they may die, yet in the end they shall live. If you have lost a loved one who died in faith, the soul of that loved one is very much alive in the presence of God and the glories of heaven. And on a day known only to Jesus, when he returns, that loved one's soul will be reunited with their bodies, which will be perfected and able to live in the glories of heaven forever and ever. There will come a day when, like the frightened and confused disciples who were cowering in fear behind locked doors, we and our loved ones who have died in faith will be given to gaze upon the face and the wounds of Jesus. The wounds that set you free. The wounds that set me free from the grip of sin and Satan. For now, we're given to say simply, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is
risen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Parents and children back who have been baptized, children who have been baptized in the past year, and we have a little class with them, and we also give them this great keepsake from Redeemer. Jim Endres makes one of these for each child, and we fill it with books and things of that nature. Just a great gift. So we are recognizing those parents and children today in our service. And this also makes a wonderful humidor also. Women's book group this week, if you're a part of it, they're meeting. The women are also planning a day in the D, so they're going to Detroit, spend the afternoon. Check that out in the announcements. Primetimers Spring Potluck coming up this Friday, and they're doing 1,000 letters from home. Check that out in the announcements. Should be a really interesting discussion. And the Redeemer Social, May 19th. We've never had a Redeemer Social, but if you've been here long enough, you can remember when we used to have progressive dinners. This is sort of a takeoff on the progressive dinner, but it's all going to be here at church. We'll meet in the town square. You're going to bring your own beer and wine. We're going to have a wonderful dinner that we'll have in the great room / library, and then go back to town square for desserts. If it's nice out, obviously we'll have the courtyard open. You smoke cigars, feel free to bring one. I think there'll be a few people out there in the courtyard. And so it's only $7. You can't beat that. If you recall, it was $12.50 to go to Progressive, and we supplied the beer and wine. So we lowered the price to $7. Want you to come if you're obviously 21 and above, but 21 to 25 years of age, we want you there so badly, you don't need to bring a dish to pass. And if you're 75 plus, because we love you so much, you don't have to bring a dish to pass either. So keep that in mind. You do need to sign up for it. There are forms in the town square and the sign-up board. Also, next Sunday is our confirmation-led service, which means they'll do the ushering, scripture readings, and help with the children's message. But inspired by one of our confirmants, you know, they do sermon reports throughout the year, a young lady asked, why didn't God stop Eve from eating the forbidden fruit? Great question. So we're going to talk about evil. If God created everything and evil exists, did he create evil? Where did evil come from? So next Sunday, that'll be our topic. And we give thanks today, little Smith being baptized, so we welcome them and all their guests on this special day as we are reminded of the gift of baptism. With that, we rise for opening hymn.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We invite our baptismal group forward at this time. Dearly beloved in Christ, our Lord commanded holy baptism, saying to his disciples in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." And the holy apostles of the Lord have written, "This promise is for you, and it is for your children, and baptism now saves you. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by by Christ the crucified. Hear how our Lord Jesus Christ has opened the kingdom of God to little children. People were bringing children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it." And to you who are sponsors, it is your task to confess with the whole church the faith in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name this child is to be baptized. And after she has been baptized, you are at all times to remember him in your prayers, put him in mind of his baptism, and as much as in you lies, give your counsel and aid, especially if he should lose his parents, so that he would be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God, be taught the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And that as he grows in years, you place into his hands the Holy Scriptures, bring him to the services of God's house, and provide for him further instruction in the Christian faith, abiding in his baptismal grace and in communion with the church, so that he may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. This then you intend gladly and willingly to do, then answer yes.
Yes.
And now, because this child cannot answer for himself, we shall all together with his sponsors and parents faithfully speak on his behalf in testimony of the forgiveness of sins and the birth of the life of faith which God our Heavenly Father bestows in and through holy baptism. To this end, I ask all present this morning, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, then say, I do renounce them.
Do you
believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, then say, yes, I believe in God the Father. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? If so, then say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit? If so, then say, yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Who brings this child to be baptized?
We do.
How is this child named?
Smith Robert Hurley.
Smith Robert Kerlick, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Peace be with you, Smith. Practice of the third century church to give the newly baptized a lit candle may serve as a constant reminder that in the waters of baptism, we know that faith burns within the heart of Smith. And we approach the altar for prayer.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Smith Robert Kirillick the new birth in holy baptism, and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly beseech you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life, to the praise and the honor of your holy name, and finally with all your saints obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please turn and face the congregation. Through holy baptism, God has added Smith Robert Kirillick to his own people to declare the wonderful deeds of our Savior, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We welcome him into the Lord's family. We receive him as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same Heavenly Father to work with us in his kingdom. And to you, Robert, to you, Smith, Robert Kirillick, the Lord bless you in all your ways from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.
Mutation. That was the first baptism I did, when Smith had the hiccups the whole time. So, never seen that before. Nicole Olds, I invite up to present the Faith Stepping Stones, and happy birthday. 40 years old.
Yes! Even nicer, and he's my favorite boss. Baptism, entering Sunday school, vacation Bible school, receiving their first Bible in third grade, confirmation, first communion, these are all special and significant spiritual moments or faith stepping stones in the lives of our children. Moments when we as a church remind, support, and encourage parents in their vital role as the primary spiritual nurturers of their children. As noted in the bulletin this morning, we are recognizing those families who had children baptized at Redeemer during 2016. Prior to this blessing and prayer from the pastors, Ashley Leeds and I had the privilege of spending some time with these families, presenting them with the baptismal box that I believe Pastor Randy showed you all this morning, containing a number of Christian resources that they can, as a family, partner with us and bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I'd like to invite those families forward.
Today we take our first step in our Faith Stepping Stones program. In Christian love, you parents have presented your children to the Lord in holy baptism. And in baptism, sacred promises are made. And as the parents of these children, it is your responsibility now to keep these promises. The promises are to faithfully bring them to the Lord's house, to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Apostles' Creed, to place into their hands the Holy Scriptures, and to provide for their instruction in the Christian faith. I would ask you this morning, do you renew your commitment to these baptismal promises? If so, then answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. And to you, the congregation that supports these young people in prayer, do you promise to encourage them in keeping their sacred promises? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
So you have brought your child to be baptized and claimed by God as his own, and we celebrate with you today that new life provided by God through his Holy Spirit. We welcome your children into the family of believers here at Redeemer.
We pray, O most gracious Father, how appropriate we stand by this font today where little Smith was baptized. In this font, we are born into the world of eternity. We give thanks for these little ones that you continue to bring into the congregation of Redeemer. We give thanks for their parents. We'd ask your blessing be upon them, that the parents would be strengthened through you, that they may be role models, bringing up their young in a godly way to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ, in whose name we are bold to pray this. Amen.
We invite the rest of the children forward for the children's message. Good morning. My goodness, we could start a school with all of you kids. There's so many of you here today. Last week was an extra special Sunday. How many of you came to church last Sunday? Okay. And what was special about last Sunday? It was Easter. And what did we celebrate because it was Easter? Do you know what actually happened? What actually happened? Jesus died. That was on Good Friday. What happened on Easter? Jesus came back alive. He died. He was in the grave for 3 days, and then he came back to life. And, you know, while Jesus was in the grave, his disciples were frightened. They didn't really believe that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead. They thought he was dead for good. And yet, that wasn't really the case. But they were afraid, those disciples, so they went and found a room, and they shut the door, and they locked it because they didn't want anybody to know where they were. Because people knew that they were friends of Jesus. But certain people weren't very good, and they wanted to hurt the friends of Jesus. So Jesus' friends hid behind this door. Well, after Jesus rose again from the grave, he appeared to his disciples who were in this locked room. And they were frightened. But Jesus talked to them, and he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and he talked to them about what he really came to do, to suffer, to die, to rise again. But one of the disciples wasn't there when Jesus was talking to the other disciples. And the disciple that wasn't there was a disciple called Thomas. Do we have a Thomas in any? Any of you have the name Thomas, any of you guys? Doesn't look like. Well, the disciples were so excited after they saw Jesus alive, they told Thomas, and Thomas didn't believe. He thought they were telling him a fib. And Thomas said, look, if I don't see Jesus' wounds in his hands and in his side, and if I don't see the wounds in his feet, I'm not going to believe that it's really Jesus. Well, then the time came, and Jesus came, and Thomas saw Jesus. And Jesus talked to Thomas about doubting, not believing that Jesus was actually alive. And Thomas touched Jesus' wounds in his side, in his hands. And Thomas had his sins forgiven by Jesus for doubting. But what a joyful thing it is that we can celebrate not only last week, we can celebrate now. And even though we can't right now put our hands in the wounds of Jesus, Jesus' Holy Spirit helps us to believe that, yes, what we celebrated last Sunday, Jesus' resurrection, is still something we can celebrate all the time. And Jesus, because he rose again from the grave, he lives. And he lives forever into eternity. And someday, do you think you're going to get a chance to see Jesus someday? In heaven, of course, right? In heaven. And what a glorious time that'll be. Can't you wait to see Jesus in heaven? Wow, that's going to be wonderful. Well, thanks for coming up today, and you'll get a little picture of the disciples hiding out in the room and then talking to Jesus, and you can color that. The question was, did Jesus rise from the dead and was he a zombie? The answer was no.
First reading is taken from Acts chapter 5. Just a little side note, we are introduced to a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. If you recall, Paul, before he was called Paul, was Saul, and he was a Pharisee. This Gamaliel is a high-ranking Pharisee who has much respect, and Paul was his student, Saul was the student of Gamaliel, and that's where he learned how to be a Pharisee, and if you recall, Paul would say he's a Pharisee among Pharisees. So just a little background. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Here ends our first reading. Our epistle is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Song join the one that never ends because
because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, every fear is gone. I know he holds my life, my future in his hands. Amen. Because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends, because he lives, because he lives.
We rise for the gospel reading. Holy Gospel for today is taken from the book of John, chapter 20, beginning with the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Here ends the gospel lesson. Please be seated for the sermon hymn.